You're listening to SBS News.
U.S. President Joe Biden has taken responsibility for the tumultuous U.S. evacuation from Afghanistan, saying it was the best available option. In his remarks since the final pullout, Mr. Biden said 90% of Americans who wanted to leave were able to do so, and that Washington had leverage over the Islamist militants to ensure 100 to 200 others could also depart if they wanted to.
I take responsibility for the decision. Now, some say we should have started mass evacuation sooner. And couldn't this have been done in a more orderly manner? I respectfully disagree. Imagine if we'd begun evacuations in June or July, bringing in thousands of American troops and evacuating more than 120,000 people in the middle of a civil war. There still would have been a rush to the airport. The bottom line is, there is no evacuation from the end of a war that you can run without the kinds of complexities, challenges, and threats we faced. None.
More than 123,000 people were evacuated from Kabul in a massive but chaotic airlift by the United States and its allies over the past 2 weeks. Mr. Biden said the evacuation was an extraordinary success.
Last night in Kabul, the United States ended 20 years of war in Afghanistan, the longest war in American history. We completed one of the biggest airlifts in history with more than 120,000 people evacuated to safety. That number is more than double what most experts thought were possible. No nation has ever done anything like it in all of history. Only the United States had the capacity and the will and ability to do it, and we did it today. The extraordinary success of this mission was due to the incredible skill, bravery, and selfless courage of the United States military and our diplomats and intelligence professionals.
He criticized the ousted Afghan government's inability to fight back against swift Taliban advances, which forced the United States and its NATO allies into a hasty and humiliating exit, and highlighted the role played by former U.S. President Donald Trump.
The previous administration's agreement said that if we stuck to the May 1st deadline that they had signed on to leave by, the Taliban wouldn't attack any American forces. But if we stayed, all bets were off. So we were left with a simple decision: either follow through on the commitment made by the last administration and leave Afghanistan, or say we weren't leaving and commit another tens of thousands more troops going back to war. That was the choice, the real choice, between leaving or escalating. I was not going to extend this forever war, and I was not extending a forever exit.
President Biden added that the United States was far from done with Afghanistan, and in particular with Islamic State adherents in the country.
And to ISIS-K, we are not done with you yet. As Commander-in-Chief, I firmly believe the best path to guard our safety and our security lies in a tough, unforgiving, targeted, precise strategy that goes after terror where it is today, not where it was 2 decades ago. That's what's in our national interest.
America's longest war took the lives of nearly 2,500 U.S. troops and an estimated 240,000 Afghans and cost some $2 trillion. Although it succeeded in driving the Taliban from power and stopped Afghanistan being used by Al-Qaeda as a base to attack the United States, it ended with the hardline militants controlling more territory than they had when they last ruled in 2001. This comes as a contingent of Americans, estimated by U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken at fewer than 200, wanted to leave but were unable to get on the last flights. British Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab put the number of UK nationals in Afghanistan in the low hundreds following the evacuation of around 5,000. He told Sky that the Taliban had pledged a safe passage for those who wanted to leave Afghanistan. In total, the UK evacuated about 17,000 people from Afghanistan since the Taliban's takeover until last week. Meanwhile, American troops spent some time destroying more than 70 aircraft and dozens of armored vehicles and disabled air defenses. The State Department says the U.S. diplomatic presence in Kabul, Afghanistan, has now shifted to Doha, Qatar. Upon their departure, the Taliban took control of Kabul airport, firing guns into the air, parading coffins draped in U.S. and NATO flags, and setting about enforcing their rule. Taliban spokesman Zabihullah Mujahid says Afghanistan's new rulers are on the path of peace and want good relations with all nations, including the United States.
We want good relations with all countries, and we expect others to not interfere in our affairs. Do not create mischief for us. Keep good relations with us. Neighboring countries, Islamic countries, all countries. The Americans who were ousted from our country last night, we want good relations with them also, because we're part of the international community. We don't want our country to be a victim of war or interference. We're on the path of peace with all nations. Our country is in the process of healing, of rebuilding, of coming together. Our message of peace to the international community is help us in this. Cooperate with us politically. No one should consider us a threat to them, nor should they become a threat to us.
Earlier, the Taliban said it welcomes foreign investment in Afghanistan. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said the United States was prepared to work with the new Taliban government if it did not carry out reprisals against opponents. Meanwhile, a former British soldier who is stranded in Afghanistan has claimed that he was unable to board a UK military flight out of the country after his visa had been refused. Ben Slater told British broadcaster Sky News that about 50 female staff of his not-for-profit organization were also unable to leave Afghanistan in the weeks after the Taliban's takeover earlier in July. He said his staff were worried and scared of their wait to leave.
They're deeply concerned, they're worried, they're scared, they're frightened, they're desperate, and they just basically, and I'm trying to keep them calm. That's it. And it's tough, you know? We just need a decision made.
After the visas for himself and his workers were rejected, Mr. Slater led an effort to leave the country with his workers through Afghanistan's land border with Pakistan. However, he claimed that Pakistani border officers would only allow them into the country once UK government officials contacted them and offered additional consular assistance. Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.